The leading environmental group advocating for the St. John's River goes to court. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we're always live at 9 on the radio. Also, make sure to get our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just ahead, we'll speak with St. John's Riverkeeper Lisa Reinemann as that group files an injunction to postpone the St. John's River Harbor Deepening Project. What are your thoughts about the dredging project? 549-2937. Then later, how you can participate in an important survey about local transportation. Get your opinion in. And don't miss the live and studio performance from local musician Deshaun Kirkland. That's later in the hour. All of that ahead. But first this morning, the St. John's Riverkeeper has filed a motion to postpone the impending dredging project of the St. John's River. They're going to court to call a halt to the dredging until what they call significant deficiencies in studies by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers are addressed. Now, in 2013, the Corps authorized a plan from Jacksport to deepen the last 13 miles of the river channel from 40 to 47 feet to accommodate larger ships that are expected to soon be traveling through an expanded Panama Canal. Jacksport now says to reduce costs, it only wants to dredge 11 miles of the channel. But environmental groups say they're worried that the studies from the Army Corps are now out of date due to possible environmental damage to the river suffered in the aftermath of the historic flooding caused by Hurricane Irma. That's the new wrinkle in all of this. St. John's Riverkeeper Lisa Reinemann joins us now in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
And here's our question to callers. What's your reaction to news that the Riverkeeper has filed an injunction to stop the dredging planned for the St. John's River Channel? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online, send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, tweets to @MelissaInJax, or let us know how you think about this. Comment on our Facebook page. Let me begin by saying we did reach out to Jacksport yesterday to get their response to this injunction. No response yet from Jacksport. Of course, we hope to have them on the program when it's convenient for them. Lisa Reinemann, you filed this injunction Monday on behalf of the Riverkeeper, and you're saying this is in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma, correct?
Most definitely. And it's actually, you know, we have been unwavering in our position that the Corps underestimated the impacts from the dredging. The analysis is incomplete. The proposed mitigation does nothing to protect our river. And the fact that the flooding impacts and a new 11-mile project have not been evaluated validates our concerns and reinforces the urgent need to fully vet the deep dredge before it's too late, as well as is required by federal law.
How did the historic flooding we saw with Irma, how did that damage the river specifically?
Well, what happened with Irma is that we did have the historic flooding. And so as you look into, on the record, how the Corps has addressed flooding as part of this ongoing discussion that we've been having as a community for 6 years, they continue to answer citizen questions as well as elected officials with the promise that there will be no induced flooding. However, if you look at the study that they actually reference a storm surge analysis. That analysis says there actually will be an increase of storm surge and tide up to a foot. And so their facts don't add up. They can't say with an increase in storm surge that on top of what we saw in Irma, as well as on normal conditions, that there's not an additional flooding risk. And to make matters worse, their evaluation didn't take into account input from tributaries as well as rainfall. And so it's not a true flooding analysis. So they can't say that with a straight face and with any confidence.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the injunction to stop the planned dredging of the St. John's River down to a depth of 47 feet. Jacksport has long wanted to do this so that they can attract bigger, deeper drawing cargo ships that are expected to dot the eastern seaboard ports in the widening of the Panama Canal. It allows for much bigger ships to come through the canal and bring their cargo to our ports. What do you think about all this? What are your questions about how the flooding from Irma is now impacting this debate? Give us a call at 549-2937. Okay, so you just said, Lisa Reinemann, that the Corps found the deepening project could increase possible storm surge by 1 foot. During Irma, we saw historic storm surge. The river rose nearly 6 feet. in areas around downtown Jacksonville and historic neighborhoods that line the St. John's River, San Marco, Riverside. We saw historic storm surge right into downtown Jacksonville in our downtown business district as well. So what I hear you saying is that if we have another historic storm with historic flooding, the deepening project could potentially make that storm surge go even higher. We don't know quite how high.
Well, according to their own model, the Army Corps is saying there will be an increase in storm surge in some areas up to a foot. And so what happens when you change the river, when you deepen from 40 to 47 feet, there's more tidal force pushing more of the Atlantic Ocean into downtown Jacksonville, into the river, and it has no place to go except flooding over its banks. And so if you were a business owner, if you were a homeowner, and you were watching this water in this past hurricane creeping up on your property, think about another foot. And federal law requires the Corps to make, if there are going to be an increase, to not only look at what that increase could be, but also look at the damages and account for that in mitigation, account for that in their economic analysis, and they failed to do so. However, they did just recently last week reopen the study to take a look at this issue, which just validates our concern that it needs to be done.
Who's they?
The Army Corps.
The Army Corps. So they are revisiting the issue.
They're revisiting it, but they have a very detailed document that citizens can comment on over the next 30 days. And they're wanting to look at this concurrently with the proposed dredging that the Army Corps had hoped to start next week. They're not saying they want to start it now in January. This is all about timing. We believe citizens deserve to know, elected officials deserve to know the answers to these questions prior to any dredging and prior to any damage done to our river and our community.
Now, this latest motion you filed is in addition to an already existing lawsuit that you had filed some months ago to try to stop the Jacksport dredging project. What's the status of the original lawsuit?
So the original lawsuit, we received the record from the Army Corps of Engineers early this week. It's 17 gigabytes of information, so there's a lot of details that will be worked through over the next several weeks. And then we have to file briefs on that record, respond to that record in mid-January, saying if we believe it's complete, if there's missing information. And we believe there will be missing information because there's studies that just were not completed, that were not done by the Army Corps of Engineers, which is in violation of federal law.
Violation of federal law, how specifically?
Well, they have to look at the impacts. They have to understand what the damage, what the risk will be, and they have to mitigate for that. And as we've talked about before and we've shown before, that they have not done that work. And so it makes our river vulnerable and it makes our river economy at risk.
The port has not responded to our request for comment on this latest development in this long-running battle. The port's position, though, is that the dredging project is necessary so that Jacksport can attract bigger ships, add jobs at the port, grow the economy here locally in the First Coast. They see this as an economic engine for this area. Officials with the chamber, the mayor's office, most business-oriented leadership in this community is behind the dredging project. What about the business case for this? Obviously, you're an environmental group, so you're not as concerned about that. But what about that argument?
Well, and we are concerned about the economic argument because we believe Jacksport is overestimating the benefits. In fact, they doubled the amount of benefit that the Army Corps had projected, which everyone has asked us to hold accountable to the Army Corps. We asked them to do the same. So we believe there are valid questions out there. And why we're concerned as an environmental organization, the reason we think that they're boosting this and exaggerating it so people won't be as concerned about the impact to the river. But this is more than an environmental issue. Our river is an economic driver. And so any damage done to the St. John's River and the communities along the river, along the tributaries, they will be damaged, they will be put at risk, and that will hurt our economy.
All right, let's go to your calls now for St. John's Riverkeeper Lisa Reinemann. Where do you stand on the proposed dredging project of the St. John's River? What are your questions? 549-2937, lots of calls. Sandra is in Riverside. Hey, Sandra, did you suffer any flooding during Irma? Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. I have suffered flooding from Irma in other areas. I have family in Riverside that did as well. My question is, can property owners join in this lawsuit and protest to the Army Corps of Engineers to try and bolster your case, because there is significant risk for individuals and businesses. For example, the City of Jacksonville Sheriff's Office and the E-911 Center sits right on the river, and they are subject to flooding. In fact, they're considering moving their E-911 Center because of this risk, and I would think this would be very applicable to their interests. So as a personal homeowner and family owner in a risk area, I would hope that we could help join this fight.
Thanks for that call. Can other people be parties to this lawsuit or other entities?
Sandra, thank you so much for the offer. I'll have to get a legal opinion on that specific piece, but there is a way that everyone listening can engage. As I mentioned, the Army Corps just last week has reopened the study that we believe should be completed prior to any dredging. And there is a 30-day commenting period open as we speak, and we'll be asking for a community meeting to discuss that. And we'll make those details available on our website at stjohnsriverkeeper.com. And please reach out to me at lisa@stjohnsriverkeeper.com, and .org. And I will let you
know. Yeah, it's a .org.
Thank you. Sorry. Need another cup of coffee. But I'll be happy to talk about that legal option as well.
All right. Lots of calls. Tom on the west side. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes. Good morning. My question was this. I'm just wondering what the point is in dredging so that we will be shallower and later than all our competing ports on the East Coast. It seems like we would be better off in going after the smaller boats that still remain after everyone else has got done with their dredging.
Thanks for that, Tom.
And Tom, you bring up a valid point. In fact, the Army Corps agrees with you on that point. In 2012, they completed a study that basically said that Jacksonville would be a two-tier port and could be one of the, and we believe, and other folks have mentioned over the last 6 years, that we really have an opportunity to be a port that focuses on being the best secondary port.
549-2937. Susan is downtown. Hello, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Hey, I wanted to point out that in addition to the Army Corps of Engineers maybe not doing a thorough job in completing their studies for flood control in the future, I think another issue that should be of great concern not only to local citizens but also to the United States in general is whether or not we have a sufficient infrastructure in terms of federal law enforcement. For example, with Customs and Border Patrol and DEA to sufficiently inspect the increased, I think it's a threefold increase in shipments that are coming in from places like China. That is the core cause of our opioid crisis in the United States, and Florida is one of the top three states. So what we're seeing is we're not only seeing the finished product coming in ports, but we're also seeing a large volume of precursor chemicals. So what have they done to study the impact of that and whether or not we have the infrastructure for that? Thank you.
So many interesting questions from very informed listeners out there. What about her? What about Susan's question?
Susan, a good question. I do not know the answer to that, but one interesting wrinkle that's somewhat related is the Army Corps is saying that there'll be a reduction of ships coming in if they're deeper. They'll be bigger, but with fully loaded. But the Jacksport says there'll be an increase of ships. So under the Jacksport scenario, that would be a major issue that should be addressed. I don't know if it has been focused on to date.
549-2937, as we talk about the injunction filed by the Riverkeeper to stop the Jacksport dredging project. What are your questions? Mark is on the west side right now. Hello, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was wondering if you could give us an update as to the great taking from south of us, Orlando. They're ramping up to take 100 million gallons a day, I think it was, of the St. John's River water. And does the Army Corps of Engineers address that at all?
Right, and that's a related issue. This involves Orlando wanting to get water from the St. John's River up here in North Florida and use it for their increased water demands down in rapidly expanding and very heavily populated Central Florida. So what about that?
Yeah, and Mark, that is an important point, because the impact of withdrawing more than 100 million gallons a day from the St. Johns River is the same negative impacts as the dredging on the salinity perspective. More saltwater intrusion will happen if you go deeper in the river. Also, if you pour more fresh water out, it'll start drawing more saltwater in. That does damage to the kidneys of the river, the wetlands, which are important water quality filters, as well as habitat. Right now, there is a proposal to expand at Taylor Creek Reservoir. They're looking at phase two to withdraw 45 million gallons a day. We have formed a Headwaters Advisory Council of our members in that area to help us with that effort. And we're working with a water management district to understand that process and to weigh in early in the process. And one of the things in the Army Corps report, they do address water withdrawals. They point fingers saying, well, that's the water withdrawals are going to damage the river more. The people wanting to take water in Central Florida say, no, the dredging's going to do more damage. There's a lot of finger pointing, unfortunately, and not a lot of mitigation or resolution.
We're getting emails about the salinity issue. Here's one from a listener. Dredging the river will increase the salinity in the river and further upstream. I hope people realize that when it does flood, the salt water will likely come up into homes and also kill vegetation and trees that are not adapted to salt water, causing long-term damage. He also writes, do you think people realize the deepening of the river is not a one-time deal? The maintenance dredging is projected to be redredged every 2 years, disturbing the bottom ecology, impacting the fisheries that include shrimp, crabs, and fishing. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. That is exactly right. It is an ongoing process because the river will try to fix itself. And unfortunately, that makes our banks less stable. In addition to the saltwater intrusion, you start losing those grasses and submerged trees are dying. You can actually see trees being burned by salt in Goodby's Creek and in Christopher Creek and other areas. That makes our banks less stable and you have more erosion. And so it's an ongoing issue. And time has shown us in past dredging that these impacts have happened, they will happen, and continue if we allow this to move forward without proper fortification to fortify our river from the damage.
What's another city that's done this sort of dredging project that we could look to for an idea of what would be in the future if we go ahead with this?
Well, the Cape Fear River is an example in Wilmington, North Carolina. If you go there, their trees are dead. They're having major issues. In fact, you know, what we will see, you know, all the way down to Black Creek as well as Six Mile Creek, we're going to lose our forested floodplain, which are those kidneys, and we're going to see more and more trees dying. And that's what you see in Wilmington, North Carolina, as well as they've had economic issues there that they did not have. The business and the promises that were made just were not fulfilled. So they got the worst of both ends of the candle.
David has been holding down in Mandarin. Hey, David. Good morning.
Good morning. The issue is even bigger beside the ecology of this. My question is, there's a big rush to sell JEA. There's over $1 billion. I think they undervalue the whole thing, but that money's going to come in and be, I think, put into the port. We haven't had a discussion really of the port, of what Jacksonville needs, what we're lacking. Citizens have very little, if any, influence, much less no power outside of the politicians. The only thing that's going to happen is the money will be siphoned off, taken to the port. We'll be poor. We'll be out without 800 high-paying jobs for JEA. Prices will go up when people buy things. The people that are being served will actually pay for the purchase. The politicians make decisions in the dark. They benefit their friends. The public gets had. We really, really never have a real comparison of where we spend our money to other cities spend their money, which shows where do we care, what do we care for. It's a terrible situation. You know, I won't be here to see the effects. But that money, who would trust $1 billion to our politicians right now without any discussion or oversight? Thank you very much.
Okay, David. That's David down in Mandarin. $1 billion, he said. Now, to be clear, this project is projected to cost, I don't know if it's a full billion, but in the hundreds of millions.
Well, in that...
Correct?
Well, that number's fluctuating. Again, one part of this injunction is that the congressionally authorized project is for 13 miles. Jacksport made a big announcement that they were going to reduce the project to 11 miles, saving millions of dollars. However, that project doesn't exist in the Corps' eyes. It hasn't been approved or authorized. You can't spend federal dollars on an 11-mile project without it going through a study process. We think that study process needs to be done up front. But in addition, the 13-mile project, all the benefit, all the economic benefits, getting to mile 12 and 13 and getting to TRAPAC. And so to make 11 miles work, you have to relocate that terminal, which is going to add millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars to the project, which are part of the project cost. So that has to be recalculated in the benefit cost ratio, which is the trigger for whether federal money could be spent or not. In addition to that, Jacksport's own strategic plan has other improvements that have to be made landside for them to be able to handle the amount of cargo they're promising the community. And that's in their own strategic plan is up to billions of dollars. So it's not just a little bit on the deepening. There's much more to that. And on the JEA side, well, I can't speak to the sale of that. There are a lot of issues that are river-related that JEA needs to invest in, our community needs to invest in, so we can reduce the amount of pollution going into our river from a system that's not quite up to par.
Evelyn in Clay County. Go ahead, Evelyn. You're on the air.
Yes, I moved here in 09 from Savannah, and at that time they were really hot on dredging. They have done it. What makes Jacksonville think they're going to get it when Savannah's already done theirs?
Okay, yeah, thanks for that call, Evelyn. And of course, when we've had port officials on this program in the past and brought that very same question up, you know, how are you going to compete with other ports on the eastern seaboard? Where's the guarantee you'll actually get these big ships? What the port will say is, well, we can't get them if we don't try. So what about the port's point of view on that?
Well, and the port's own economist said, you know, this is not you deep in the water river and they will come. It has to be an aggressive marketing campaign. There has to be a huge amount of development on the land side to make sure they're competitive with Savannah. And none of that's being discussed. All of that costs money. And a difference from the environmental side of the Savannah project, they had an extensive mitigation plan to offset the damage that will be done to the Savannah River, and it was about 50% of the project. We're not at the cost, so we're not asking for that. We're just asking for the Army Corps is required by law to protect our community and for Jacksport to support that to make sure we continue to have the best river as more and more people are engaging in celebrating and understanding the value of our river and the economic contribution it makes.
We're speaking now with St. John's Riverkeeper Lisa Reinemann. Her organization has filed an injunction to stop the planned dredging of the St. John's River down to a depth of 47 feet. They're arguing the historic flooding we saw in this area after Hurricane Irma has completely changed the picture of how this should be studied. We've reached out to Jacksport for comment and hope to have them on the program as well. 549-2937. Conrad on the north side. Hello, Conrad.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just curious, about a year ago, Ms. Runner was on there and was the whistleblower in my mind as to the fiasco that the Corps of Engineers had on their hands out there after Matthew. It was months later that she finally disclosed the fact that they had those 70-ton dominoes of concrete out there floating off their foundations. I was just wondering what the impact of Irma was on our $39 million investment in the Mile Point Correction out here. Have they got that back together yet, or what's the status?
All right. Thanks, Conrad. Let's explain what he's talking about first, this Mile Point fix, as it's called. Can you first explain what that is, and then we'll get into his question?
Sure. The Mile Point fix, it is where the Intercoastal meets the St. John's. And prior to this fix, there was a current issue where barges couldn't make that passage there except for certain times of the day. And so we actually supported that project years ago because all of a sudden it opened up for an increase in the amount of cargo coming through in a way that was actually mitigated. Part of the mitigation was creating a new wetland area, but it had to have a new berm, a new wall, to allow for that wetland area to be restored as it was originally. And so it was a win-win. Unfortunately, that retaining wall failed, as Comrade had mentioned, and that is still trying to be corrected. And there hasn't been a plan that's been able to figure that out at this point.
Hmm. Comments for you on our First Coast Connect Facebook page. Here's one, and his name is Cecil. He takes a different view. I think that if you spend enough money, you can find a study that confirms what you want it to confirm. The fact is, studies were done. The work must be done, so get it done. Quit spending taxpayer dollars arguing. What about that?
Well, and we obviously have a difference of opinion, because if the Army Corps had truly done a flood analysis that took into account rainfall, that took into account the input of inflow from the tributaries, the Corps looked at the river as if the tributaries were disconnected. And so you can't have a true flood analysis. You can't point to a study that says there'll be an increase in storm surge and say there'll be no increased flooding. We are holding the Corps accountable to do their job as it should have been according to federal law.
This lawsuit has been filed. A judge isn't expected to rule on your original lawsuit, meantime, until later on this summer, year.
Right. So we have two now. We have two concurrent paths. So on January 4th, there will be a hearing on this injunction. And so that is scheduled on the calendar for January 4th. But also at the same time, we have the original petition moving forward. And so we'll have our next conversation with the judge on that piece of this puzzle, and we will submit briefs on January 18th. After that, that'll set the time frame, but it'll be sometime in 2018, which again, we believe citizens deserve to have this resolved and figured out prior to the damage being done, because once it's done, there's no turning back.
As you mentioned, you're asking the community to weigh in on this via your website?
Yes, you can go to stjohnsriverkeeper.org for more information. You can email me at lisa@stjohnsriverkeeper.org if you'd like to have a conversation. Pro and con, you know, we like to hear from people on both sides, because it's for this to be a robust process, we need to make sure we're having a hearty debate. And the way this has moved forward over the past six years, they've made it very difficult to have a comprehensive discussion as a community, for not only citizens, but also our elected officials.
Riverkeeper Lisa Reinemann, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
Later on, a special treat as local performer Deshaun Kirkland returns to Studio 5. Don't miss his live in studio performance, and we'll also find out about his upcoming Christmas concert. But up next, the North Florida TPO wants to hear your opinions on how to improve travel around the First Coast. We'll tell you how you can be part of it. We'll be right back.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. From the State House to the Everglades to the Panhandle, Florida has a unique story.
So join us every Friday for the Florida Roundup.
And hear from newsmakers, journalists, and Floridians from all across the state
about the issues that matter to you.
The Florida Roundup, Fridays at 1 on WJCT.
When it comes to fighting crime, many police have a simple goal.
We would love to take guns off of the street. That's what we'd like to do.
So why are they selling their guns to the public?
It doesn't make sense. They're doing something counter to what they're saying they want to do today. Hypocrisy.
On the next Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Take a drive with us into the Blues Horizon every Monday and Wednesday night at 11. The best in classic and modern blues. as part of WJCT's After Hours. Every Monday and Wednesday night at 11 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world, your music.
I don't want no woman telling me what to do.
Welcome back. Well, does traffic and congestion around town just get you down? Here's your chance to vent that spleen and sound off and give your opinions about how to improve transportation all across Northeast Florida. The North Florida TPO, that's Transportation Planning Organization, is working together with FDOT to conduct a major household travel survey. And they've extended the deadline to participate in this survey through December 15th. Marcy Larson is Public Affairs Manager of North Florida TPO, and she joins us now with more. Good morning.
Good morning.
And full disclosure, the North Florida TPO is an underwriter of this program. All right, and if you want to connect with TPO right now and share your thoughts about transportation around our region, the number to call right now is 549-2937. So, Marcy Larson, you want the public to really participate in this survey and let their voice be heard.
Yes, and if I could just give a little bit of background as to why we're doing this. The North Florida TPO is the regional transportation planning and prioritizing organization for this area. So, talking North Florida, Clay Duval, St. John's, and Nassau County. Part of our responsibilities is every 5 years to update what we call our long-range transportation plan. Mm-hmm. We are going to be starting that process to 2045 in early 2018. This household study, travel study, is something that traditionally you do about every 8 to 10 years to get a great snapshot of how people in the region are traveling. And we have not actually done one since about 2000. So
17 years.
Yes. So
wow.
This is a precursor to the information that we will be using as we go into the 2045 update.
Well, certainly this area has grown and changed a lot since the year 2000. So you need an updated kind of weigh-in from the public.
Right. That's very true. So what we've been doing, our funding partner is Florida DOT. They're a partner with us on many other things as well. And so we've had a national research company that does transportation surveys. We've been working with them since mid-late October. They mailed out several hundred thousand letters and postcards. They selected residents randomly and asked them to take the survey. And what we are doing now is augmenting that process with what they call convenience sampling. And that's where working through the media, working through a lot of partner organizations, asking them to put it on their website to share with their stakeholders, then anybody has the opportunity, aside from getting a letter or a postcard, to go on mm-hmm. to the website and do the survey.
I just went to the website, Marcy, and the website, by the way, is NorthFloridaTravelSurvey.com. And I clicked Take the Survey. Now, it says I need a password.
And the password is survey.
Okay, so you just enter survey as the password.
Correct.
And I'm going to log in here because I'm taking this survey. I want to give my opinion, too. What are your thoughts about the North Florida Travel Survey as we speak with Marcy Larson of North Florida TPO? We'll go to your calls in just a minute at 549-2937. By the way, if you go to NorthFloridaTravelSurvey.com, enter the password survey, and then take the survey, you are automatically entered to be in a drawing for a grand prize, iPhone X, or you could win a $100 Amazon or Walmart gift card.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
Right. And if anybody wins it, they will be notified by email that they have won one of these prizes.
Let's go to a few calls now. What are your thoughts about travel and transportation around the region? The North Florida TPO is updating its long-range regional transportation plan for this entire multi-county area. So your opinions can help shape the plan and help shape the future of transportation in this area. CJ is in St. Nicholas. Good morning, CJ.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. The comment I'd like to say about improving the traffic infrastructure here in Jacksonville would be really look at the notion of getting adaptive traffic signals. And that is really just getting intelligent traffic signals to be able to route traffic much, much more intelligently, especially as we move into the era of autonomous or self-driving cars. We have an opportunity to reinvent how we route traffic, especially, the traffic signals that we have around the country, but in our area, are very expensive, but they're kind of dumb. They rely on timers and also sensors, but if you could really utilize things like smartphones and things like that, you can really route traffic in a smart way and actually ease gridlock. So adaptive traffic signals would be a huge boom for Jacksonville, especially because we're such a driving city. I think we could be a model for transportation. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, CJ. Marcy.
Okay, well, we have been doing for the last decade or even more a lot of work using technology. So some of the things that he's referencing, that those tools are in place to gather information and to try to make sure that when there is congestion in a given area, that there are opportunities to reroute traffic, to understand what the traffic flow is, what the numbers are, so that if there needs to be remedies to a given area, then that can be part of the longer-range transportation planning.
549-2937. Teresa on the south side. Hello, Teresa. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I'm a social worker, so I drive all around town pretty much all day for work. And a common theme that I've noticed throughout Jacksonville is merge lanes and the failure to use them properly. A lot of people do not know that they need to merge instead of run the lane out to the very end and then make everybody slam on their brakes so they can go in, of course, without using a turn signal. But especially during rush hour, I've noticed just about every day, especially on 295 in the south area, is people will use the merge lane to get around traffic, which at that point makes everybody have to, again, brake and let that person in to avoid a car accident, which causes the traffic jam that they're trying to avoid in the first place. Is there anything that the TPO could do, public education, signage, maybe even speed bumps and merge lanes to get people to actually merge when they need to?
Thanks for that call, Teresa. Marcy Larson.
Florida DOT does a lot in the arena of public education. They go out, they give presentations to school groups, high school groups, community groups, etc. So I exactly what you're talking about. I have seen that myself, and I think part of it is we get very impatient when we're driving. And when there is congestion, it makes us even more impatient, but it's kind of part of courtesies of driving and also considering the safety of how we manage our driving.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking right now with Marcy Larson of the North Florida TPO. Full disclosure, they are an underwriter of this program. The TPO has a survey up right now. It's at NorthFloridaTravelSurvey.com. And they want everyone who's out there on the roads to fill out the survey. When you go to the website, the password is simply the word survey. Take the survey, and you're automatically entered to win an iPhone X or a $100 Amazon or Walmart gift card. And this survey is live through December 15th. The TPO wants a complete picture of travel patterns across Baker, Clay, Duval, Nassau, Putnam, and St. John's counties. They need this community input so that they can update their transportation planning. So be part of this, and let's go to a few more of your calls. Peggy in Arlington. Hi, Peggy. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, going on Beach Boulevard from downtown to the beach, lights are timed very well, and the traffic moves very nicely. It does not happen on Atlantic Boulevard. What can be done to correct the timing on those lights to move traffic along better?
Thank you for that, Peggy.
Off the air.
Okay, thanks for that.
On those roads, if it's managed, if it's a state road, then Florida DOT, they have individuals who are in traffic management, and they are the folks that look at how the lights are timed and those kinds of issues. If it is a city street, then it would be the city of Jacksonville that does the same responsibility, and they're looking at ways to make sure that the traffic signals are giving drivers, you know, the maximum benefits that they can.
Mm-hmm. 549-2937, calls from all over the listening area. Kathy in Mandarin is with us. Hello, Kathy. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got one of those cards in the mail, and I started to do the survey. As I got into the survey, especially into part two, the questions seemed to get awfully personal and intrusive, and I got really uncomfortable with it. I didn't know what they were doing with the data, and I wasn't really, I didn't feel safe, so I just quit.
Huh. Okay. Thank you for that, Kathy. What about people that are concerned about their personal data being shared or used in any other way?
We've had one or two folks that have expressed the same thought. And what it is right now we have got several thousand responses. And so as each of these responses come in, the information that comes with it is dumped in with all of the other information. And there is no way that anybody's individual information is set aside, so it's just mixed in there with the greater number of the participants.
I've started to look at the survey actually myself right here online at NorthFloridaTravelSurvey.com, and it didn't ask me to give my name or address
right.
or phone number or
right.
anything like that. So yeah. I hope that reassures you a little bit. 549-2937. Millie in Jacksonville Beach. Millie, thoroughly modern Millie. Good morning. I'm dating myself, but... Remember that old movie? Go ahead, Millie. You're on the air.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm calling regarding the need for synchronized lights. I lived in Washington, D.C. for many years, and the main thoroughfare right down the city, which is Massachusetts Avenue, all the lights were synchronized at the speed limit, and even during rush hour, travel moved very smoothly. And I would love to see the light synchronized here so the same thing could happen.
Synchronization of lights. That comes up so often when we talk about transportation. Is that part of the long-range TPO plan?
No, not really. That's we do more looking at how we should the use of technology. So obviously signalization is part of that. And once again, getting back to the folks, whether they're with DOT or a municipality, you have folks that do look at the traffic signal management and gauge it according to what the speed limit might be. Try to make sure that there's adjustments as you're getting into rush hour where there might be slightly more congestion. So the idea is obviously to make the traffic flow as quickly and as smoothly as possible. So, you know, once again, I would say if anybody had a particular question about it, if it's a city road, contact the city of Jacksonville. If it's a state road, then contact DOT and they can take a look at it.
Now, you've extended the survey deadline through December 15th so that you can just get as many people to be part of this as possible, right?
Correct, yes.
And so today's December 6th. People have until next Friday to go online to NorthFloridaTravelSurvey.com. Fill out the survey. The password is simply the word survey, and you'll be entered for the grand prize, an iPhone X or a $100 Amazon or Walmart gift card. Again, that's NorthFloridaTravelSurvey.com. I started filling it out as we were talking. I'm going to finish it later. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Marcy Larson, Public Affairs Manager of North Florida TPO, with us. And in a moment, a special treat. First Coast singer and musician Deshaun Kirkland, celebrating the holidays with a live in-studio performance. Keep listening. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Let me just give...
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
Michael Cavendish and Cavendish Partners PA. Intelligent management of lawsuits for companies, investors, and executives. Offices in downtown Jacksonville. On the web at cavpartners.com.
How much we pay in taxes could soon change. Congress is grappling with a range of complications, but the fundamental question is simple. Will this tax bill put more money in my pocket? We'll get some answers and consider whether the time is right for a big tax cut with the economy on the rise. Next time on 1A. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
On the next Fresh Air.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
That's a now-famous line from a film considered one of the best worst films ever made, The Room. We'll talk with James Franco about directing and starring in the new film The Disaster Artist about the making of The Room. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
After a garment factory collapsed in Bangladesh, clothing brands from the West began talking about how their clothes are made. But it may be only talk.
These jobs, it is not with respect. These jobs is not with dignity.
Or with safety. Bangladeshi factories signed safety agreements with Walmart, The Gap, and JCPenney, but they can't be enforced. The story from Bangladesh on The World. This afternoon at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, finally this hour, First Coast singer and musician Deshaun Kirkland is celebrating the Christmas season this month with both a new album and a new concert. We're pleased to have a special treat as he joins us now live in studio. Deshaun, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks, and good to see you as always. So you've got a Christmas concert coming up. What's going to be happening?
December 10th, this Sunday evening at 6:30, live at the Eagle's Nest. It's 8040 Lone Star Road in Jacksonville, Florida. We have the Christmas concert party. It's going to be a full concert. We have comedy. We have a live audience karaoke, meaning I'm going to stop in the middle of my set and bring up some people that's in the audience that want to sing their favorite Christmas song, and they've always wanted to sing, and they always wanted to do it. I'm going to stop and have them do a song right there, and me and the band, we're going to play right behind them. So that's going to be a ton of fun. And I'm going to do songs from my Christmas album, which is getting very good reviews. And I'm also going to be doing songs from my first album, Genesis.
Excellent. And a new album coming out. How can people get your new music?
Well, I'm on iTunes, Spotify, all that stuff. Then you can also go to my website, dsean.net. And look up all the information. I have all my music and all of my music videos online. You can listen to the album free on my website. And if you want to support, if you want to purchase a physical CD, you can fill out the information online and we'll send you a copy. If you want to purchase a ticket, you can also go to my website, dsean.net, and purchase a ticket to the concert on Sunday.
Concert Sunday. And a little bird told me that you might be going to the Grammys this year.
Yes, I'm having such an exciting year, and the new year is going to be exciting. I have I'm married, 27, baby on the way in February. I'm nominated for an award also in February, which you can vote for me at theeddyawards.com, theeddyawards.com/voting. And also, I got an invitation to go to the 60th annual Grammy Awards in New York and Madison Square.
Wow, Garden. That's exciting.
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm still waiting to confirm if I'm going to go or not. I already got my plane ticket for New York, though. I also have a gig out there that week. So, but yeah, I did get the invitation, and I'm very excited about all that's happening and all that God is doing in my life. So,
well, we have a special treat now, a live in studio performance from Jacksonville's own Deshaun Kirkland ahead of his Christmas concert on Sunday. What are you going to be playing for us?
Well, this song is called Angel, and I actually wrote it about my wife, for real. So I want to sing this one first. It's an original song called Angel.
Here he is, Deshaun Kirkland.
Smiled on me when I found you. I know I don't deserve you.
You're such a blessing, girl. The Lord himself thought of me, then made you. Then he placed you in my heart. I know we'll never be apart. Every time that we kiss, I can feel the Holy Spirit, yeah. Your love came and saved me. What a gift on this Christmas day. You're my angel, my angel. You're my angel, my angel. Oh, you're my angel, my angel. You're my angel, my angel. When you lay hands on me, you put me to sleep. Baby, you're from another world. You're such a blessing, girl. Ain't no religion but what you do to me, baby. Sacred nights we spend, our bed is heaven, yeah. Yeah, every time that we kiss, I can feel the Holy Spirit, yeah. Your love rose and saved me. What a gift on this Christmas day. You're my angel, my angel. Oh, you're my angel, my angel. Woo. You're my angel, my angel. Whoa, you're my angel.
Sean Kirkland, hey. You are so talented.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you for the performance.
Well, I'm glad you allowed me to come and sing my song. I really do. I really am excited.
And go see Deshaun Sunday, December 15th.
December 10th.
December 10th,
pardon me. Sunday, December 10th.
I'll get it right here. And go to Deshaun's website for more information about his show and album. Have a great show, Deshaun.
Thank you.
And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Kevin Merchart. Michelle Corum runs the board. The show theme, composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. 1A's up next. I'm Melissa Ross, and no show for us tomorrow, but be sure to tune in for Faith Matters at 9 a.m. We'll be back Friday with our media roundtable. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.